The Alpine fires in southeast Australia burnt in excess of 1.1 million hectares in 2003, or 700,000 hectares, or 35% of the catchment area in northeast Victoria. I'd sort of like to context that too. The region of northeast Victoria occupies 2% of, whilst it occupies 2% of the Murray-Darling Basin by area, it contributes nearly 38% of the total surface flow for the Murray-Darling Basin. Having said that, when you look at the record inflow for the Murray River in 2006, 38% of not much is not much. The 2003 fires had many and varied impacts. I'd like to discuss this in terms of water quality, water yield, and some management options in terms of water resource management. Before the 2003 fires were fully extinguished, we did experience some severe and localised thunderstorms. One particular heavy rainfall event in the Buckland Valley generated enormous amounts of sediment and ash. Unfortunately, during that event, one of the DSC firefighters was tragically killed with the onslaught of that flood flow and the rock and debris that ensued. We estimated that nearly a million tonnes of ash, soil and rock was mobilised in this event. This slide here shows the mudslide event in the Livingston Creek, not that far from the Buckland Valley, which also experienced a significant event. That's the rock slide event in the Dingo Dell, upstream of the Buckland Valley. And that's a sand slug in the Mitter catchment. So the impacts of fire and rainfall events has reclassified the soil structure. Instead of sand, silt and clay, we now have rock, mud and sand. Thanks for the slides, that'll do. The ash-laden sediment slug that was generated in the Buckland certainly had some severe problems in terms of water supply offtakes and town water supply. In that same month, that particular sediment slug shut down the Wangaratta town water supply for a few days. They went from no restrictions to level 4 restrictions in the space of a few minutes. More broadly, the rainfall events after the fire generated a number of things in terms of water quality. Total suspended solids went up 1,400-fold compared to natural levels, up 400-fold for total phosphorus, and up 100-fold for nitrogen. With the aid of the state government and the Department of Sustainability and Environment, we implemented a number of water quality and water yield monitoring stations. In terms of water yield, the longer-term impacts are yet to be felt, and Rob's explained quite eloquently what those sorts of impacts are. Research has shown in our area that where fire has burnt in excess of 40,000 hectares of alpine ash, the worst-case scenario shows that water yield will drop by up to 129 gigalitres per annum over the next 80 years. Recent studies by ANSYS show this might be close to a loss of 82 gigalitres per year. Both figures show fairly significant losses. We're encouraging further research into this, and University of Melbourne are continuing their on-ground monitoring stations in the Coober Valley, and this should be supported for the longer term, and Gary and Rob might be able to help out on that score. In relation to the more recent fires of 2006-2007, some of the 2003 alpine ash regrowth has been reburnt. What does this mean? Does this mean alpine ash in the future? Not likely. There's no seed source there. Does it mean, theoretically, rainforest succession? Not likely again because of climate change. In these reburn areas, in the short to medium terms, water yield may actually increase, but we don't really know, and therefore we need that research. In terms of management, firstly, prescribed burning in strategic areas is definitely useful, but it's not a panacea. Remember that important water catchment areas are generally wet forests, and frightfully difficult for fuel reduction burning. In the past, the way we've managed this is to have a drought for 6 to 8 years, ignite it by lightning in the middle of summer, and hope like hell you can contain it, a particularly difficult stratagem. In terms of water resource management, we need to look at some of the mitigating factors of what climate change is forecasting: more frequent storms, more frequent bushfires due to lower rainfall. We need to look at mitigating options for sedimentation, high sedimentation loads and water quality as a result of fires. This may include strategic positioning of off-water supply offtakes and the use of off-river river storages or off-river water storages where towns rely on run-of-river flows. In terms of water yield, we have pressures of climate change, fires and consumptive pressures. A reduction of, say, 82 gigalitres in our catchment area is a real threat to processes such as the Living Murray Initiative, where we are trying to achieve an increase of first-step environmental flows in the order of 500 gigalitres. We need to factor in the impact of fires, climate change and the pressures of consumptive use for the future allocation of water between towns' irrigation and environmental needs.